This is episode number 15. Welcome to the Sprouting Minds podcast. I am your host, Diego Never Lose Cruz, your host with the most. And each week, I offer you a new perspective or a message to help you navigate life's challenges as a young adult and help you realize your inner goat. Thank you for spending some time with me today. Now enjoy the episode. Welcome to this week's edition of the Sprouting Minds podcast. This week I opted for a solo episode to share with what I think are life-changing perspectives. Health is the foundation to a great life. There's no denying that. Nutrition is a huge cog in the thing we call health. And if you want to achieve anything great in your life, health has to remain a priority for you, or else you will be slowed down by the deteriorated state of your own health. To remain in a peak state, you must have your health working with you and not against you. The lies we have been conditioned to believe are catching up to us fast, and it hurts me to see so many misled and needlessly suffering. We all deserve to live a long, healthy life full of energy, vitality, and passion. This episode is broken up into two parts as to not overload you with information. I touch up on all things nutrition, protein, fats, carbs, the latest diets, supplements, and the mindset needed for continued success ahead. And if you find value in this episode, make sure to share this with someone who you think needs to hear. This is truly life-changing, guys. A quick reminder to subscribe to the Sprouting Minds podcast if this is your first time hearing it. Rate it. Review it if you're a fan or if you haven't done so yet. And without further ado, let's dive into the episode. Hey guys, thanks for listening to the Sprouting Minds podcast. I'm super stoked that you're here spending some time with me today. I wish to share with you guys food principles that you can carry throughout the rest of your life so that you and your family can enjoy long, fruitful lives. It pains me to know that so many lives suffer from chronic diseases, to know that so many people don't live up to their fullest potential because of faulty, misleading information about nutrition. As I said in the intro, health is the foundation to a magnificent life. Nowadays, we're being bombarded with this diet, that diet, study this, study that. And all that information is coming from quote-unquote educated backgrounds. And so it confuses us. So that has led me down the rabbit hole of nutrition to find the optimal human diet. The following information is intended for educational purposes only and is not meant to be medical advice. I only ask that you use a little common sense and really take a good look at the state of your health, the state of others around you, and ask, is this working? Is this person telling me about nutrition, is the person telling me about nutrition walking the walk? Meaning, do they themselves look healthy, full of life and energy? Are you achieving your body goals? Are you getting to where you want to be? Really take a look at yourself and ask these questions. I do not want you to believe me word for word, but I also don't want you to believe any doctor word for word. I want you to try different strategies and study what makes you feel on top of the world. You have to be willful participants in your health journey. Take your own health into your own hands. Let's start with some perspective. Nutritional science is new. I'm talking really new. We are barely in its infancy stage. so many people like to throw around studies, and including myself, I have done that in the past, and say, look, science says there are lots of flaws with the methodology of studies. I'm sorry to say that, but it is. It is very hard to control what a person eats, and very hard to understand what exact relationship it plays in their health. Because health is so very complex with so many interconnecting parts, and it's so individualized. So again, I say, be wary of people throwing around studies and tune into your own body. Try different strategies and study your own body and the foods you're eating and how it makes you feel. Also, be wary of anybody throwing around big words to sound smart. My goal is to get you to easily understand my food philosophy. Again, I have been down the rabbit hole. And it all leads to chasing the money. And when you chase the money, you realize it all points to corporate lies to make money off a sick population. That is no conspiracy theory. The lies of saturated fat clogging arteries, eating foods high in cholesterol raises your cholesterol. This new insidious lie that we're being conditioned to believe, which is go plant-based, brah. And this is why we have been getting sicker and sicker as a nation since the 1950s. More chronic diseases, more metabolic syndrome, and more sickness. The U.S. spends the most on healthcare than any other first world nation, yet we're one of the unhealthiest. We're clearly not healthy when you take a look around at the population. So we need a re-education from the social conditioning we've been facing since birth. So let's start with the basics. Protein, carbs, and fat. We all know we need all three, and we need the right combination of all of them to achieve optimum human performance. Let's start with protein. Protein, we know that we can get it from plants and animals. But here's what they don't tell you. One is more bioavailable than the other. Can you guess which one that is? It's animals! Ding, ding, ding! Animal nutrients are more readily available for the body to use than plant nutrients. And this is because plants have a highly complex cell structure, and the human physiology is simply not designed to gather all of its nutrients from plants. And to showcase this point, let's quickly talk about iron. We know that we can get iron from spinach or kale, but we're not told that there's two different types of iron. The iron in plants is called non-heme iron, and the body requires heme iron. Yes, the body can convert the non-heme iron into heme iron, but that conversion rate is so low, meaning you don't get all the iron your body needs, you think you ingested. What also must be known, but isn't talked about, is that plants are living creatures. They too want to live long, fruitful lives. So they develop defense systems called anti-nutrients. Anti-nutrients are exactly what they sound like. Once eaten, they send out toxins interfering with the organism's bodily function. Now, I don't share this to scare you away from plants. On the contrary, they must be prepared in a certain way. But we will talk about that later. Now, going back to protein, it is important we eat enough to fill our daily energy demands. And what that amount is highly dependent on the person. Sorry to say there is no exact amount. There are guidelines, of course. But it depends on your energy demands, if you work out or not, your current health levels, if you have any pre-existing conditions, etc., etc., etc. Just be wary of how much you eat. Too much protein can lead to a lot of harmful waste products. especially from conventionally farmed animals. And if you eat too little protein, the body will begin to break down and eat itself, and you'll lose muscle mass. Some good sources of proteins are meats, red meat especially, because it has a lot of micronutrients and amino acids. No, red meat does not cause cancer. Again, that is highly flawed studies. And red meat is being attacked by the plant-based crowd. And for good reason, but I'll address that later. Other good sources are eggs, dairy, warm water fish. And you'll hear why I recommend warm water fish later on. So the reason plant protein, isn't recommended is because only about 60 to 75% of that protein is bioavailable, meaning we only get 60 to 75%. And that's just a general conversion rate. Depending on people's conditions, it might be even lower. Now, animal protein has been shown to have not over 90% bioavailability, meaning you get almost all the amount of protein you just ate. Now, obviously, if you can afford grass-fed beef, that is a much better choice for you. But I know not everybody has access to grass-fed beef. Now, I just want to talk about conventionally farmed meats real quick and address the crowd that says not to eat red meat. The fact is, it does have drawbacks. Only large corporations have a say in the matter. In fact, only 4 corporations have a say in the matter. We all know the horror stories of factory farms. And I in no way endorse that behavior. And I completely understand if you don't eat meat for that exact reason. But you must know that you can support local ranchers and farmers who humanely raise their animals. Only 4 large companies control 80% of the meat production. And government rules highly favor these large companies because of lobby groups, and they have unfair regulations that are hard for small operations to compete with them. The large companies have lobbied to keep the small-scale American farmer down. You know, the farmer that truly cares for their animals, that raises them right, that treats them with respect and dignity? Well, those large companies have kept those farmers from taking a piece of their pie. And this is why grass-fed beef is more expensive. As a nation, we need to address the heinous food system in place and its backward regulations that favor mega companies that don't care about consumer health, aka your health, or their animals. Sustainable grass-fed beef could be accessed by all if we raise the awareness to our congressman or congresswoman about this issue. No, I'm going off in a bit of a rant. But all that to say, animal protein is still superior than plant protein. Now, if you can only afford conventionally farmed beef, limit it, switch it up. Don't only eat red meat, eat poultry, eat eggs, dairy, switch it up, eat some plant protein. But I want you to lean more towards eating animal protein than plant protein because of the bioavailability issues. Now, let's move on to fats. There are 4 different types of fats: polyunsaturated, saturated, trans fat, and monounsaturated fats. Now, most advice is going to tell you to avoid trans fats, which you should, avoid saturated and monounsaturated fat, and go heavy on the PUFAs, which is polyunsaturated fat. So here's what they got right. You know, listen to them when they say avoid trans fat. Listen to them when they say limit your monounsaturated fat, aka your olive oils, your avocado oils. But to limit your saturated fat and eat instead polyunsaturated fats, that is dead wrong and has led us to this crisis. Again, let us chase the money. And so we'll talk about the invention of vegetable oil. Crisco. How many people know of Crisco? Crisco was invented in 1910. And so the ad campaign has been going on ever since. Now, convincing people to give up butter and lard, which was the cooking oil of that time, convincing people to give that up was not going to be an easy task. So corporate scientists and advertisements painted animal fats as the causes for disease. They did the old bait and switch tactic. Let's point the finger over there and let's sell my product instead. So they told us to instead replace saturated fats, instead replace butters with their Crisco vegetable oil. And even to this day, many companies tout the same message. Many organizations, many dietitians, and it saddens me, doctors, that they tout the same message of limiting saturated fat and increasing your PUFA content. It is completely backwards. Science to date has seen no correlation in saturated fat intake and heart diseases and cardiovascular diseases. In fact, if you take a look around, everybody seems to be sick and inflamed and or obese. We are to this day getting the message of let's avoid highly processed foods. But then they tell us to cook with highly processed oil instead of natural animal fat. Has anybody ever stopped and think how that advice runs completely contrary to their initial advice? Their initial advice of step away from processed foods, but it's okay to cook with processed oils. What? Lobbyists pay organizations and dietitians and doctors all over the nation to tout this misleading advice. It is sick and it is inhumane. Clearly, this advice of cooking with vegetable oils is leading us down a dark path. And the crazy thing is that every household, every restaurant, every fast food place, every processed food uses polyunsaturated fats because it is so damn cheap to produce. The devil is in the details. No one ever stopped and think that the reason we're getting sick is because we're cooking. We're all. And now when I say we are all, everybody from every class, rich, poor, middle class, we're all cooking with highly processed oils. Think about it for a second. What a brilliant business model. Let us make highly processed oils, highly processed plant waste, for pennies on the dollar, and then sell it for a few bucks. And then we got to get it into every house, every restaurant, every fast food place, every manufacturer. Genius. Genius. But not so fast. I care about your health, even if you don't. And I want to see you do big things, even if you don't know how to do them. But it all starts with getting your health in line. PUFAs single-handedly wreck the body, and we're only starting to understand that. I mean, again, take a look around you. Depression, chronic diseases, chronic inflammation, immune problems, obesity, metabolic syndrome, all result from eating PUFAs. And saturated fat was supposed to be the cause of those issues? Come on now, man. We've seen a sharp increase in our sickness, in the sickness of the population, since the advent of vegetable oils. Really think about it. If the advice of the past 100 years, limiting saturated fat and using PUFAs in place, are working, is it really working? And I'm going to continue to beat PUFAs into the ground because I truly, with my whole heart, believe that if people switch the cooking oils they used, they would feel a remarkable difference in their health and in their energy levels. So I'm going to use bears to paint a picture real quick. We all know that bears hibernate, and they hibernate by eating lots of nuts, seeds, and salmon. Do you know what nuts, seeds, and salmon have in common? They're high in PUFAs, natural PUFAs. And to hibernate, they need to make all of that food they eat last their whole hibernation. And to do that, they need to slow down their metabolism. In fact, we have studies of feeding bears a high PUFA diet, and they slept through the whole hibernation. But when we fed bears a high saturated fat diet, those bears did not sleep. Their metabolism was too fast. The same applies to humans. Eating PUFAs is only slowing down our metabolisms, wrecking our thyroid health, and putting havoc on our hormones. Another point to be raised is the fact that farmers used corn and soy oil on their animals to fatten them up, to decrease their metabolic rate, and this allowed the animals to become fatter on less food. Wow. What do you think happens when humans eat these oils? What do you think? Not to mention that the oils inhibit our body's ability to absorb nutrients. PUFAs are molecularly, structurally weak. So that means heat breaks up these molecules, and they oxidize when we cook with them. And they inflame inside of our bodies. They cause inflammation. Now, let's put this into perspective. We've been using these oils our whole lifetime. So what's it going to lead to? Chronic inflammation of the brain and body, joint pain, Alzheimer's, obesity. It's crazy. Saturated fats are much more stable and heat resistant and are thus safer to cook with. And they've actually been shown to decrease inflammation, balance out your hormones, and boost your metabolism. And they're full of fat-soluble vitamins A, D, and K2, all of which are important for the body to function at a high rate. Need I tell you that vegetable oil has none of those vitamins, none of those benefits? And now you might be thinking, what foods have high polyunsaturated fat content? Well, any vegetable oil, nuts, seeds, cold water fish, and yes, even conventionally farmed meat. And any processed food. You look at the ingredients of the foods you're buying, guaranteed it has soybean oil, grapeseed oil, canola oil, vegetable oil, even the milks, oat milk. The attacks on dairy. Look at those ingredients for those alternative milk replacements. Lesser known is the fact that omega-3s, you know, the omega-3s we've been conditioned to believe that help our heart, our health, heart healthy, those are considered PUFAs. Again, this was another misconception that I fell victim to. I supplemented omega-3s. The omega-3 business is a multi-billion dollar industry. So let's chase the money. Eating loads of omega-3s can lead to liposuction. Liposuction is those brown spots on people's faces or anywhere on their body. Those are called age spots. Those age spots can lead to yellow fatty disease. Yeah, those little brown spots are a result of too much polyunsaturated fat in their system. What's also not known is that when we eat PUFAs, this requires the body to need more vitamin E. And many of us do not reach that threshold. Saturated fat is clearly the good guy. Before the advent of PUFAs in marketing, chronic diseases were practically unheard of. So I want to recap. Let's avoid putting PUFAs in your home. If you care for your health or your family's health, you would do best to heed my warning. They are anti-thyroid. They affect your thyroid health. So limit the amount of PUFAs you keep in your home. If you can, do not cook with vegetable oils. Instead, use coconut oil, butter, lard, ghee, tallow, duck fat, or any other animal fat to cook with. Do not cook with olive oil. I know a lot of people recommend that, but they don't think about the smoke point of olive oil. That's why it's always recommended to use it as a salad dressing, only as a salad dressing, and it even says it on the bottle. So again, avoid PUFAs and instead use saturated fat to cook with. Now, it's going to be nearly impossible for you to eat any processed food that doesn't have a PUFAs. So we're all human. We all want to live. We all want to enjoy some snacks here and there. So again, I say limit the amount of PUFAs you eat. And if you can, avoid cooking with vegetable oils. I need to hammer that message because I truly believe many people would feel a drastic difference in their health. So next up, I want to move on to carbs. Carbs. It is well known, the science, that the body and the brain prefer using glucose, aka carbs and sugar, as fuel. But you wouldn't know that nowadays. The attack on carbs and sugar makes it seem like they're the cause of all these problems. But I'm here to tell you something. We are highly metabolic mammals, and carbs and sugar are very easy for us to burn off. But with all the latest craze to eat low carbs to avoid them altogether, you wouldn't know this. The ideology involved in those that saying to go low carb is that your body will turn to its fat storages to use as fuel instead. And indeed, the body does do that, but only as a stress response. And again, I fell victim to this. I thought I was going to go low carb the whole time. I felt good. I went low carb, and this was at a time where I was more worried about vanity, and I wanted to lose fat, retain muscle, look ripped. But I mean, who doesn't want to do that? And so I was on low carb, and it worked. I looked good. I was dropping the weight. I was looking skinnier, thinner, looking lean. But as time progressed, the consequences started to show up. The lack of carbs caught up to me. Yes, I was looking lean and mean, but inside I was feeling like shit. Constantly getting huge sugar cravings. Binging on sugar, and not the good kind. And I was noticing that I was getting more irritable, and it was taking me longer to wake up in the morning. I was drinking 2 cups of coffee and still yawning. I struggled internally, and my subconscious always drew me back towards carbs. And I was trying my hardest to deny what I wanted. And I've come to learn that the initial high that I felt from no carbs, plus I threw fasting on top of it, that initial high was actually adrenaline coursing through my body. I'm not gonna lie, that high felt amazing. I was thinking sharp, had energy, and I didn't need to eat. My body had adapted to eating once or twice a day, and I wasn't hungry. I didn't have to worry about what I'd eat next, because I wasn't going to eat. It was a huge stress relief in that department. But that high did not last long, and the adrenaline wore off. It affected my hormones, shutting down my energy levels to keep the unconscious processes going on, you know, to keep the blood flowing, to keep the liver functioning, to keep my heart beating. My thinking declined, and so therefore the quality of my life suffered. My metabolism suffered. My hormones suffered. I was a wreck. I'll spare you the sciencey details involved. Just, I want you to know that a low carb or a no carb, it eventually catches up to you. And to the people pointing at studies, I say to you this. Look at how long those studies are being implemented. It is usually a week, 2 weeks, a month tops. So they're flawed in that they only are short term. And I'm not advocating for people to step off the keto diet or the carnivore diet. They work in the short term, but it isn't meant to be a lifelong path. Now, if you're coming from a low carb diet, it is important to give the body what it demands and add carbs back to your diet, but do so slowly. A sudden onset of carbs will result in weight gain, but only because your metabolism was slow, or your metabolism was slow because your energy, your thyroid shut down because you didn't give it carbs. So you're not going to be able to all of a sudden burn off all the carbs you just ate. So again, I say, add them slowly. Are all carbs the same? Nah. They vary between simple and complex carbs. Simple carbs, like fruit, honey, juice, fruit juice, milk, maple syrup, and even root vegetables like the potato. And yes, even white table sugar. Those are easier to digest. Wow. Complex carbs like vegetables, grains, rice, pastas, or any other processed foods like cereals and takeout food, those take longer to digest. So therefore, those foods aren't able to energize you quickly like simple carbs are. Now, most advice is going to tell you to limit your simple carbs and instead eat complex carbs. But I offer you a different perspective. And to understand this, we got to quickly review the glycemic index. Foods higher on the scale raise our blood sugar the fastest. Therefore, they cause high spikes in blood sugar, which if you combine it with PUFAs, you've got the perfect recipe for diabetes. Now, on the flip side, simple carbs have a way better micronutrient profile than the processed complex carbs, not to mention the lack of anti-nutrients that are found in milk, fruit juice, honey, and maple syrup. Now, we need not fear about causing sudden spikes in blood sugar when we eat simple carbs, because adding in a healthy fat, such as coconut oil, butter, ghee, or any other animal fat, can slow the absorption of carbs entering your bloodstream, which stabilize your blood sugar levels, which is what we want. Now, to recap, carbs are essential for optimal human performance. Yes, the body can run on fat, but that is a stress response, and it is not meant to be carried out over 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years. Yes, there will be people on extreme ends of the spectrum, but most people fall in between the spectrum. So I say, add carbs back slowly into your diet by eating easy to digest carbs such as fruit, honey, milk, fruit juice, maple syrup, and then work your way up to the potato. Work your way up to white rice. Again, the message of avoiding highly processed foods applies. And so that means limiting your pasta intake, limiting donuts, limiting cereals, breads, and all that other jazz. Now, I'd like to address vegetables. In the past, I held the belief that vegetables were to be avoided at all costs, but I've come to learn that wasn't sustainable, even for me. I've talked about how the bioavailability is low for humans, and how vegetables carry anti-nutrients. And all that is true, but that does not mean they are to be avoided. Raw vegetables have the highest amount of anti-nutrients, many of which mess with bodily functions, inhibiting our ability to absorb nutrients. So what is the solution? Well, we've got to peel the skins of the vegetables, because the skins hold the most anti-nutrients. And then we've got to cook them, because heat breaks down the anti-nutrients even further. So I will always recommend to peel vegetables and cook them. Raw vegetables are nearly impossible for us to digest because of the cellulose in them. I mean, how many of us have eaten a big, healthy, quote-unquote, salad, and then we take a number two later on, and we see full lettuce or spinach leaves or kale leaves in the toilet? Like, you could just look, plop them right out of the toilet, and plop them right back into your mouth. Now, just because you ate that spinach doesn't mean you got its nutrients. I mean, it came out the other hole intact. No wonder eating salads is miserable. The body is crying out for nutrients when we eat salads. I'll highlight another fad thing I see. Juicing! No! He attacked my juices, my green smoothies. Yes, I am. I'm attacking those too. And quite honestly, you're making the anti-nutrients even easier to enter your bloodstream. All these anti-nutrients have different effects on the body and they attack different systems. Now, I'm not telling you can't have a green smoothie every once in a while, but there's a whole trove of people that swear by juicing and indulge in it every day, swearing that it helps them lose weight, which it does, but it doesn't help them lose good weight because their body's crying out for nutrients, eating itself, eating its muscles to meet the energy demands. But as long as I look good, it doesn't matter how I feel, right? Right? Now, let's combine juicing with all the misinformation about protein, fat, and carbs, and you arrive at a state of emergency inside your body. So moderation is key. Don't indulge in juicing every day. What also must be known is that most vegetables are sprayed with pesticides, and also they're grown with chemical fertilizers. We simply live in a different world than our ancestors who grew up on small farms, or the world that our hunter-gatherer ancestors lived in. But I don't want to bash vegetables any longer, so here's what I recommend. Peel them, cook them, and eat them if you must. Limit and or avoid raw vegetables and stop juicing. It's just another way for people who don't care about your health or are ignorant to the fact of anti-nutrients, it's just another way for them to make some money. The exception I will give is the raw carrot. Eating a raw carrot with some coconut oil, a fat, and white vinegar does the body good, because the white vinegar stimulates digestion and the coconut oil stimulates absorption as well. And the unique fibers in the carrot bind to the endotoxins in our guts, and they help our gut flora alongside the coconut oil. The vinegar, like I said, stimulates digestion. I want to share the upside of root vegetables. Not all vegetables are bad. So the vegetables that grow underground are much better for you, because they're unable to get directly sprayed with pesticides. And so they also develop their own antibacterial and antifungal properties because they live underground and in the dirt. And so those properties are really good for our microbiome, really good for our gut health. Potatoes are actually really good for their micronutrient profile, and they actually have protein in them that can be utilized. Crazy, right? Root vegetables are highly recommended. Anything that grows underground, highly recommended. Raw carrot salad, highly recommended. But again, I'm telling you, if you're coming from a low-carb diet, work your way up from simple carbs all the way up to root vegetables. And that is where we ended, family. Thank you so much for tuning in today to this week's episode. I know a lot was thrown at you, much of it contradicting what mainstream nutrition tells you to eat. Make sure to share it with someone who you think will find value in this episode. You never know when you can truly change someone's life. You can be the catalyst to their change by sharing this episode. Make sure to follow me on IG at Diego_CruzBaker. Again, please leave the podcast a review. Let us know what you thought about the episode. Part 2 will be coming out next week, and I close with the following message. Really reflect on the state of your health. How's your thinking? How are your energy levels? What is the current state of my body? Am I where I want to be? Is what we've been taught about nutrition leading us in the right path? Reflect on all the opportunities that you've missed out on because of your health. Reflect on your family and their health. Has your body been trying to make noises to warn you something is wrong, like how cars make noises? Any sort of medical condition, ranging from cancer all the way down to acne, are signs your body's trying to tell you something is wrong, including emotional states such as chronic depression. You know what time it is, folks. Boss up. Show the world the GOAT in you. Until next time, Kaizen.